Is e-commerce the silver bullet to save your business? This is the Kawartha Small Business Podcast, and we've got business conversations for the Kawartha commute. I'm Brian Rump from U Group.
And I'm Matt Garrity from Matty G Digital.
Digital, eh? Does that mean you can create me an online store and I can sit back and just watch the money come in?
I suppose it's one way. I do get that question a lot, and I find that people are usually no longer interested in when I start talking to them about it. So maybe that's my sales skills, or I talk to them a little bit about the if you build it, they will come syndrome. I was actually doing very diligent research on this topic last night, and I learned that the Field of Dreams quote that I just said, if you build it, they will come, is not accurate. Did you know that?
I think so. I just forget why.
It's actually, if you build it, he will come.
Oh, yes.
Anyways, so I always liken it to that quote, like, if you build it, he will come, which is completely inaccurate, meaning people think that they're going to build and create an e-commerce website, and then at the snap of fingers, they're going to start selling stuff immediately, which is completely not accurate. What it realistically has to happen now is you need to engage in so much more marketing when you have an e-commerce site. And I think that's probably what scares most people.
Yeah.
They're thinking it's going to be, try not to say a buzzword here, like a hack, or it's going to be a shortcut. It is like, well, I'm struggling in this store, or I'm struggling doing whatever on this platform. Maybe I'll just put an e-commerce site up and I'll be able to sell everything, which is true.
And also, I think that it's passive as well. Somehow, oh, I'll put that up and, you know, I'll make money while I sleep.
Yeah.
I'll get up in the morning and I'll look at my, you know, inbox, and there will be a whole bunch of orders for my stuff. Just magically sitting there.
Yeah, and for sure, like, you can do that one day. But the problem is, like, people don't just end up on your website. They have to find you somehow. So ads, search engines, social media, all of those are different tactics and different platforms to get people onto your website. And people don't just land on your website by accident or without effort. So we start talking to people about, A, the cost of e-commerce, the time and energy that they're going to have to put in a lot of cases, of taking inventory and descriptions of products and services and putting all of that into the system as well. And then you start talking to them about, like, okay, just because your website is up doesn't mean people are going to magically start walking in. It's just like your store. If you open up a store, you can't expect people to magically start walking in. It's even probably more difficult than a store, because at least if you have a store on Main Street or somewhere, people are going to, like, trickle through because they're interested.
Yeah, I was going to say, sort of, it goes back to, like, location. And, you know, in retail, if I open a store in, you know, downtown or on a major route, and and I have great signage and people can see it and clearly know what I do, maybe they'll pull and stop in. You know, if I open an amazing store and it's on a side street and you need to find out how to get there, you know, that is almost the same as, like, an e-commerce site. You know, you have to make it so people, you know, can see it and know how to, you know, pull in and take a look around. You still have to do that level of effort and work to, you know, get people to come in.
Yeah, for sure. Like, if you're Lindsay downtown and you have a store on Kent Street, regardless of what it is, people are going to walk through eventually. There's sidewalks there. There's parking spots in front. People are going to check it out. There is no roadmap or Main Street for the internet, though. People aren't just going to, like, stumble across it. So they need to find it through, like I said, an ad, a search engine. So finding it on Google somehow, finding it on social media, Facebook, Instagram, et cetera. It's tricky. It's not just going to happen overnight. And I think that's probably the biggest concern with people, because then they start to understand the cost of putting the website together. And then they start to understand the cost of marketing. I don't know those numbers offhand, but just the idea of it realistically, if someone came to me and was like, I've got an e-commerce site and I need to like get a bunch of sales, you're talking about everything almost right away. You're almost immediately talking about search engine optimization, SEO, getting found on Google. You're probably talking about ads, and you probably should be talking about social media. And this is probably a conversation for a different day, but I said immediately doing search engine optimization, and that's the thing that's going to take the longest. So you're going to start that, and it could be months before people find you.
Yeah, you need to build those habits, build that content, build everything just to be successful later on. Like, you're starting on a journey to get to maybe where you think it's going to take you right away, and it could take you months of having no sales at all to get there.
For sure. And the thing that's a little bit confusing for people too, I think in general, is they expect every website to sell for them. The goal of every website is not to directly immediately sell something. Meaning, there's retail websites that you might not be able to buy online, and they're kind of just directing people to the store. You could be talking about lead generation type websites. So maybe service-based like my own, where I'm not selling my product online, but I expect people to find my website and reach out to me, similar to you. And then last but not least, that's the e-commerce. That's the only one that we expect a direct, immediate line of sales to. A typical website is going to include like what you do and who you are. So a typical website being like retail, service-based, lead generation stuff, it's what do I offer and who am I? An e-commerce website is completely different. They have to offer that, plus they have to take into account user experience and making sure we're refining that experience to the point of perfection, meaning user experience is like determining how people are best going to interact with something. So best interact with the website. What is the most likely path of them finding what they want, A, and then B, actually purchasing from you? And you need to like get that down to a science.
Yeah. And I think that's where, a lot of people maybe don't break down and think of all of those steps. When you look at stats or things like empty shopping carts, like how many people browse around a website, maybe select some things and then never buy it. I think you probably could shed more on this. And I think some of the technology's improved, but when you're starting up, if you're trying to get sort of the cheapest possible e-commerce store, sometimes the ones you don't pay as much money for don't have a great experience. Or I've seen ones where, you put stuff in your cart, but then it integrates and takes you to like another website or another service that's plugged in. And that's probably a less expense for the business owner, but as a user, that's not nearly as good. So it's going to encourage people to leave right away. So really focusing on having that smooth user experience that's easy, because people are just going to stop as soon as it gets hard, right? People are lazy. We want to buy what we want to buy. And as soon as you make it hard or have to figure something out, then people are just going to be gone.
Yeah, absolutely. I think you probably have like less than 1 second or one chance to make them happy before they're going to drop off that site, change their mind. If things are not seamless, like you just described, if someone adds something to a cart and then it's not really indicated, or you don't know what's in your cart, they might think there's something suspicious even going on and might bail just based on that completely. And I can talk all day about like obstacles of marketing retail, which I think is a scary thing for people too, because you get a lot of questions in retail like, well, what are we tracking to make sure we're being successful here? And you start to talk a lot about, well, with marketing retail, you cannot convince people to get up off their couch and come into your store. you're dealing with obstacles like, what are your hours like? What's the parking like? What's your customer service like? Everyone in the world thinks they got the best staff and the best customer service. That's not true. There's all these little things, stock, availability, pricing, all these things that affect the marketing efforts when you're doing retail. There's always a disconnect between marketing and sales when you're talking about lead generation marketing. So like you could be bringing in lots of good opportunities from a marketing perspective, but there could be issues with the sales team and the sales process and pricing and all these other external things. E-commerce, you should be able to draw a very direct line between your marketing efforts and your sales. There's no excuses. There's very little obstacles that cannot be fixed or addressed. It's the only type of marketing, in my opinion, that you are able to actually like draw that direct line between.
Yeah, and I think that's where, you know, the expertise is. There's obviously cost to pay for that expertise, but really finding out what's happening, you know, what is the problem and addressing it takes that time and focus and energy. And I think a lot of small business owners maybe don't understand that right away. So they resist maybe what the real cost is to be able to, you know, operate that and have a really good e-commerce platform versus one where you're trying to spend, you know, as little money as possible on it, and then just kind of hope that your sales are really good.
Yeah, and that's a good way to put it. Like it is, I think it's a hope for them. And it's usually coming from a place of struggle that they're taking that last Hail Mary type of shot or throw to see like nothing else is working, or I know we can be doing better. So let's maybe an e-commerce is the way to do it. And maybe it's really cheap and I'm wrong about my internal thought on it is kind of what I've figured with people.
So what do you think? Do you think small businesses should be doing e-commerce, or do you have maybe some decision sort of matrix type points of whether or not someone should be doing e-commerce?
Yes, for a couple reasons. One other thing, as you even asked that, is I bet you there's business owners out there that are probably freaking out, thinking like, okay, I've got this retail business, it's doing fine, or it's not, or I know it could be doing better, and you're trying to convince me to all of a sudden change my business to become an e-commerce business. And that's absolutely not what I'm trying to say or advocating. There is very much an opportunity to do both. You can absolutely sell things online that you sell in store and vice versa. They work together. You can tie your inventory together with these systems. So I'm not saying like you're closing up your brick and mortar store, you're shutting your door down on Main Street Kawarthas. These things work hand in hand with each other. I don't know how much we want to get down a path of like maybe like shouting out some businesses that we know that are doing that, but there are businesses downtown Kent Street right now in Lindsay that are doing that, that they are retail, but they are also very much e-commerce websites where they can purchase things online there. Back to your original question. So like number two of like why or should people be doing e-commerce websites? We try to be as untimely, I guess, as possible with this podcast so people can be listening to this now, a month from now, a year from now. But top of our mind right now is the COVID-19 situation where not almost every single business in the world was affected by it in one way or another. I'm service-based and people thought that whenever they talk to me, oh, you're fine. Like you're working all the time. Like you weren't affected by this, which wasn't true at all. I lost like half of my business in 48 hours. It was very much like a Thanos snap of the fingers where 50% was gone almost overnight. And that made me realize too, like For myself, we need to be better prepared for like crises. But for the business that I work with, I need to start coaching them a little bit better. And the retail businesses very specifically, like they were the ones hit the most by it because they're forced to close. And in most cases, people were still able to do appointments and scheduling and maybe curbside pickup. There were businesses that I know of, again, like Kawarth, like Lindsay, downtown Kent Street, that had to close almost permanently, and they were not able to sell a dollar over that time. It just made me think, if that whole situation with COVID didn't make you think about having a different avenue for revenue or like a different revenue stream, basically, I don't know what will, because that's the best indicator to me that you need to make sure that if there's disruptions like this happening again, that you need to be prepared for it in one way or another. And then I was also telling a lot of these people that they made great transitions from physical, even like chiropractors, et cetera, or people that were very much still like they needed like some sort of physical product or service to sell in person. And they made a lot of changes to do things virtually. I was excited to hear that from people, but then I also like stressed to them, don't let that go away when COVID goes away. All these great practices that you're doing virtually that people are like really loving and being drawn to, there's a reason. And it's not just for COVID. Like people like the ease of that. People.
Yeah, it makes it easier. Like I know I'm the same, you know, with those combinations of stuff. Like if I know I'm going to a store to get something, if I could go online and, you know, curbside pick up.
It's the best.
That would be awesome, right? Because I could get it faster than if I had to get it delivered. You know, there's no shipping costs. I've paid for it. I don't have to stand in line and pay for it. So it's good to, you know, have those combinations. How do you think, and this is a tough question, every business is dealing with limited resources.
Mm.
So do you have maybe a minimum investment to have e-commerce? Do you, and this is a bit of a two-part question, you know, if I have a marketing budget, you know, how much should I put towards maybe my e-commerce versus my retail? I think that, you know, in a situation like COVID, it's good to have sort of the base setup so that you could just change your resource allocation and move to more online. But just that beginning sort of portion of like, you know, what's a minimum spend to even have it? And maybe, you know, what's minimum to sort of keep it going in a worthwhile manner.
Sure. I can throw some numbers out there locally of what I know a website and an e-commerce site is going to cost. So, of course, this is not you going to your friend's boyfriend's younger sister that knows how to work on the internet and can build.
Yeah, I think we want to like someone who knows what they're doing and setting it up properly.
Yeah. Like for a website, a basic, like I talked about, a typical website for you, where we're talking about like, what do you do? Who are you? You're just giving a bit of a story. It's a couple $1,000 for a website. It could be $1,500 to $3,000, maybe a little bit more. Some agencies locally will be between $3,000 and $4,000 for a website like that. An e-commerce site could be at a minimum, like your most basic, and I'm really hesitating to like kind of put some numbers in my head here together. You could be looking at $5,000 or $6,000 out of the gate for a very basic structure of a website. When I say structure, like basic, I'm meaning here's a bit of your story. Here's maybe a handful of products that don't have any customization or variations. Like here's a mug. Here's a white mug that you can buy. Here's a black mug that you can buy. Here's a black plate, like no various customizations. And then here's some basic shipping options. What that's going to get you is the ability to sell online, absolutely, and it's a start for you. It's almost a way to test, can I do this? Do I like this?
Yeah.
From there, though, you're going to find you're going to be doing a lot of stuff manually with that basic setup. You're going to be doing a lot of manual checking of your shipping rates, that might not be included. You're going to be doing a lot of manual label printing and putting together, like doing the logistics and the shipping, all that kind of stuff manually yourself. And again, the bigger you get, the more products you add, the more customization. So if you're talking about a mug that you want to click on, just a basic mug, and then it has 12 different colors and 12 different sizes, that's going to be a lot more work. And yeah. And work means money. Money is resources. So that's something you need to consider. And as well, you need to find someone ultimately when you're working with them that really understands that user experience and that buying process. So yeah, someone can quickly, quote unquote, quickly slap up a basic e-commerce site, but you need to like work with someone that really understands what is that person that's going to be on this website going to be doing. And what's that experience going to be like? And how can it be as simple and seamless for them as possible? And that means not having things that are confusing, making sure things are extremely clear and we're telling people the next step, and making sure there's no surprises along the way. So you lose any sales or things are just not as seamless as they could be.
Okay. No, that's good. And what about, you know, just base level, say monthly advertising, because I know, and I'll give you just some context. I had an idea about a year ago. I was talking with someone through their idea, and this was somebody who knew it could work, but also was really experienced in sort of Google advertising. And he was like, I know from everything he's worked on, he's like, that this idea will take at least 1500 a month for 6 months to even get traction on anything. So that was sort of that initial, you know, basically plan for 10 grand of advertising to get it to like the scope and where it needs to be, just to get some data to maybe start getting some really good sales. So yeah, what are your thoughts on for small businesses?
And that, people might be picking themselves off the ground after falling off their chair, but it's actually super fair, Brian, especially if you can imagine that with an e-commerce site, you have the ability to immediately sell things. If I were to tell you, okay, we're going to spend, let's say, $2,000 or $3,000 a month on our marketing locally here, and we weren't selling something on our website, I think that might be a little bit outrageous for certain businesses, depending on the cost. We don't want to spend thousands of dollars, $5,000 a month if we can't immediately sell something on our website. We still have a lot of obstacles to get people's butts off their seat and into the store, et cetera. But when it comes to e-commerce, if we can immediately turn on that direct line between marketing and sales, that's fair. In a way, you can almost, this might even be a different conversation too, is you turn on an e-commerce site, you spend an appropriate amount of money on marketing or have the appropriate marketing tactics, that's a salesperson for you. And that's what e-commerce does almost in a way, ultimately. Like it acts as a salesperson for you. But yeah, you're right. So back to your original question, things like ads on Google, Facebook, could be a couple hundred dollars to $700, maybe $1,000 to people, to just the management of certain people or agencies, and then plus ad spend on those different platforms. So if you're in something that's like highly competitive, like running shoes or something like that, you could be spending thousands of dollars a month on that. If you're going up against someone that something that Amazon sells and their ads are showing up, you better open your checkbook for that one. And that's always a consideration too. Whenever you're doing ads, is that's the first thing I check is when I search for this product, is Amazon showing up? If they're showing up, I second guess if we should even run ads, because we're never going to outspend them.
That's interesting.
Search engine SEO, that's one of the most expensive things that you could spend your money on. And it's also the most confusing. A lot of agencies are big on smoke and mirrors and stuff like that. However, SEO is one of those things where you spend money on it now, it will have long-term value for you. meaning when you spend money with an agency in an ad spend on Google Ads, someone searches for that ad. They either see it and they click on it, or they see it and they don't click on it. And then that's gone forever. You turn those ads off, you don't spend any more money on it, it's gone. If you spend money on SEO, the work that goes into SEO, it's going to take a while to get going. And that is because Google does not, I was going to say they don't want you doing SEO, but they want you to spend on their ad platform. That's why you can turn ads on quickly and spend a bunch of money and you're going to show up right away. SEO takes time. You're manipulating an algorithm, all this kind of thing. But also, like, if you do work on SEO for, let's say, a year, and then you stop your work, it's going to have like residual value. You could still be showing up online a couple months later. It might not last forever. It'll take some time for your competition to catch up, etc. But that's why there's like serious long-term value in SEO. And that's something I've been trying to preach and tell people more. Same with social media. Like, you could be spending up to $1,000 a month on your social media just for posts for someone else to do. There's a lot of value in social media. We can talk about that in great detail as well. It's not always the biggest driver of leads or sales, but people use it as another way to connect with you. So they check out your website, they check out your competitor.
Yeah, they know you exist, which is a big big thing. We're almost done our Kawartha commute here, but you picked up or said a couple of things that I think are worth talking about. And one is the idea of replacing a salesperson.
Sure.
So when we're talking about what's expensive and what things cost, I think a couple things that are important for small businesses is, one is understanding what the real cost is and being prepared to make that investment, because that investment should have a return on your investment for you, and it should help you make money directly. And the other is just, if you were to hire somebody to stand inside your door and stare at it and just say hi to everyone who comes in, that costs about $2,500 a month to have a full-time person at minimum wage. So if you compare it to, you know, the cost of that extra staff person, you know, within that budget, you can do a lot if you were replacing a person. So, you know, my biggest tip is, you know, figuring out and setting that realistic budget and doing those things properly. Because if you try to do e-commerce on the cheap and don't want to spend ads, don't want to set up a good user experience, you might as well not even do it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I was wondering where you're going, and I was going to say the same thing. It's like a complete waste of time. If you're going to do it on the cheap and kind of just half butt it, can we say half ass on this podcast?
We sure can.
All right, cool. Like, if you're going to half ass it, there's actually no point in it. And all it's going to do is you're going to get so much more frustrated. You're going to be mad about that initial, still, like, the cost is cost to an individual or a small business owner. It might, we're talking as if it's a small investment. It's still like, even a small basic setup is still going to be a lot of money for people. And you're going to be mad about that. You're going to be pissed off about it. You're going to hate the people that you worked with, like the person who built your website and your marketer and everyone else that suggested that you get an e-commerce site and all your business partners. It's going to be a trickle-down effect. So that's a very, very good point. Like, if you have asset, there's honestly no point in it. It's just, it's not going to work. People aren't going to find it by accident.
Awesome. Any other thoughts?
No, I think that's everything. I don't know if it came across like I was ranting on that one and it was maybe too much information. We can always circle back on that one again. But I guess overall, like, I would like to stress that the e-commerce website, just turning it on and seeing success and getting rich overnight, is not something that just happens. People that get rich on e-commerce have put a lot of investment,
a lot of work into
and
it.
Resources into it. There's a time and a place for e-commerce. You can do an e-commerce site with your retail store, which I highly recommend. You can start doing some fun things long term that, like, almost are helping the other one out, etc. So don't think that it's something that you can kind of just like skirt into, like dance into casually. You want to kind of like, if you're into e-commerce and you are ready to really like grow that online business, like be prepared for a good investment and be prepared for a little bit of time to get things rolling. But if you build it, he will come eventually.
All right. Sounds like an episode to me. Thanks for listening, everyone. If you'd like to talk more about this, get in touch with us and we will set it up.